When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. This week it's our regular fan team slot. I'm here with last year's winner as always, it's Josh. How are you, Josh?
Hey Az, I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. Yeah, we're doing this pre-recorded today, which is a shame because we like all the messages in the chat, but I've got some people building my fence outside and they're making a racket. I don't know if you can hear them, but they're shouting. They occasionally come upstairs, bang on the door. The dog goes mad. So I thought, I can edit all that stuff out if it does happen. So we're trying to do it in one take, Josh. But if we need to, we can always edit the powers of pre-recorded videos. Fan team-wise, we've got our regular stuff today. We're going to be talking through Josh and I's sort of main season-long teams, how we're getting on, and our sort of plans going forward. And then we're going to turn our attention to the daily, the Monster Daily game, where we're still trying to win some money. We still haven't won anything in these videos. Every week, I think we've got a really strong team and it never seems to go particularly well, but I think a change is coming. How are you getting on the dailies? You must have won a little bit, right?
I've had a really bad last 2 weeks, actually. Like, I think just because I've been thinking on a similar line to the drafts we've been producing between me and you. So like,
that's your problem.
When yours go bad, mine go bad, basically. Yeah, and we can't even blame Ward-Prowse and Saar last week because they weren't in our teams and they might have flopped. They might have blanked, but also they weren't in our team. So it was other players that cost us last week.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a shame. So speaking of the Monster game, the Game Week 11 Weekly Monster is open. As always, you're picking a team for 1 week and there's no early kickoff. So there's no Southampton Villa and there's no... Who's the early game on Saturday? Whoever it is.
City United, I think.
Is it City United?
I think it is, because it wasn't on the Monster, so I think that was the early
kickoff. I don't think it is City United. They're not the 12:30. Oh, they are. 12:30, United City.
So weird, isn't it? I never thought that would be the 12:30 ever.
That's normally the later game, isn't it? Yeah, so you can't pick any players from those two games. So the players you can pick from Brentford Norwich, Chelsea Burnley, Palace Wolves, Brighton Newcastle, and then Arsenal Watford, Everton Spurs, Leeds Leicester, West Ham Liverpool. There's some really, really good fixtures this week. I think there's going to be some pretty big scores. You're looking at Brentford v Norwich, Chelsea, Burnley. I'm looking at Brighton, Newcastle, even Arsenal, Watford, and then Conte, new manager. We'll be talking about him coming up. Everyone's got their hot takes on him. So they're the daily Monster games. Let's just start with our season long. So my team's on the screen. My best team is currently 3,000th in the world. I had a bit of a drop from 2,000th. The rest of my teams, let's not even bother talking about them, 12K, 15K, 17K, 20K, awful. I had Foster in goal. I've got to get rid of him. He's just absolutely useless. Trent, Rudiger, Diaz, Salah, Foden, Havertz, Ben Rama still lurking around, and then Vardy, Antonio, Tony, and then White, Soufal, Gilmore on my bench. Big problem, I guess, is that I didn't have James or Chilwell. I've gone for the really safe route in fan team, and I haven't done that in my normal team. So I've got Rudiger and Diaz rather than sort of Cancelo and Reece James. So Rudiger's kind of ticking along. But when Reece James is hitting 20-odd plus points, it's hard to ignore him, right?
Oh, he's been doing so well the last 2 weeks, especially. 3 goals in 2 weeks is insane for a defender, literally. It's like... That can cost you if you don't have that, you know what I mean? Mm. Instantly, like it's like a, you can't have a great week straight away off the bat. So, I tell you what, Az, I never make a goalkeeper transfer, but I'm really tempted with Foster. He's really testing my patience now.
You really let us down with that one, Josh. You were adamant that double up was the way to go.
I think that the double up was vindicated by the fact that literally Backman got dropped for Foster. Well, so having true. The two from the same team is like, at least we had a goalkeeper, you know what I mean? But obviously, if we're selling one, it's Backman because Foster's cheaper and he's the first choice now. So, like, I think Backman could be on the chopping block, I think.
Yeah. How are you? Because I'm trying to play my fan team side similar to my official like FPL team. It is frustrating when the official my official team's doing great. If I had that team in this and I was just making exactly the same moves, I'd be doing a hell of a lot better. But I'm trying to be a little bit different. And I don't know whether that's a good way to play it, or whether I should just be doing, I should have one team that's like identical to the moves I'm doing. I know it's not always possible because of prices and stuff, but Rudiger over James is really, really hurting me this week that I've got him on fan team.
I honestly think at the time it was the right call, mate, to go for Rudiger. Mm. I think I really, really do. I think we probably got him in a few weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Obviously, James in the last two games specifically has scored points that, you know, I didn't think it was even possible. I think he probably got 12 and 18 or something similar to that. So 30 points over 2 weeks is, it hurts. But to be fair, Rudiger has got a 9 and a 6, I think. So like he's got 15 points, but it's just the comparison. Like 15 is amazing for like a 5.5 million defender over two games. But the one that cost me last week was when both Christensen and Aspilicueta got benched against Norwich. So I missed the two cleans basically for free. So yeah, I'm still annoyed about that one.
Yeah, I'm around 90 points behind the person who's winning it. So a bit of a mountain to climb. Steve19881's got three teams, all first. So he's going to be pretty confident he's going to win something. Let's take a look at your team. So your best team is doing about the same as mine, 2K, 703 points compared to my 689, so about 10 points ahead of me. And then you've got another team at 3K, another team at 5K, another team at 8K. So you've got a lot more fingers in pies than I've got. And your team did pretty well this week. You had Saar in goal, Van Dijk, Rudiger, Christensen, Cancelo. Rudiger and Christensen again. You've got the safety of those two rather than the explosiveness of Chilwell and James. Salah captain, Jota, Saar still lurking around, Antonio, Tony, and you kept on to Ronaldo.
To be honest, I didn't think it was worth going to Vardy this week. Like Tottenham had looked so bad till obviously they sacked the manager, which we're hoping there might be a change now. But I just thought that was a good fixture for United, actually, for both sides. Actually, I was quite excited to have like Son in some of my teams and Ronaldo on the other side. I thought there'd be goals in that one. And they all came from one way, though, unfortunately for some teams. But yeah, I really like the front three in this team moving forward now. Ronaldo's fixtures go really good soon, like as in where he's sort of coming into being the secondary captain choice if something happens to Salah, you know what I mean? So like, I think this is the front three I'll want for the foreseeable, I think.
Any plans to move for Spurs players, or are you happy to give them this Everton game and assess after that?
Well, I was tempted to sell Jota in this team, but Firmino got injured last night, so there's no way I'm selling Jota now. I mean, he's like a bargain almost now if he gets a run in the team, you know what I mean? So so it would be in the Saar slot if I was to get Son, so that would involve getting some money from elsewhere, I think, but I might be able to make it work. I think in this team I've got Saint-Maximin and Aspilicueta on the bench, so like not showing on the screen, but so there is some money there on the bench that I could maybe utilise to upgrade Saar to Son or something. I think that's what I'd be looking to do.
What's your thoughts on Conte coming in as Spurs manager?
Well, he's an exceptional manager. That's the first thing to say. I think he's as good as Spurs could have got at this point, like without a doubt. I was actually surprised he went there.
I'd argue that he's way above what Spurs should have got.
that's what I mean. I think it's literally the best they could have possibly got. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like he was obviously touted to take the United job like just last week, just after the Liverpool game.
He could manage any club in the world. He could go to Real Madrid. He could go to, you know, Chelsea, City. Anyone would take him, I think. Well, Chelsea obviously had falling out with Abramovich, but, you know, City, example, Pep leaving in a few years, Conte could come in and take over that. It's a hell of an appointment for Spurs.
I think it's an outstanding appointment. It's probably, I'm trying to think what the last time an appointment was made on this level compared to where the team is was probably
maybe like Ancelotti at Everton.
When Pep went, Everton's a good example, yeah. When Pep went to City, when everyone was like, oh my God, Guardiola's came to the Premier League, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as like how it'll affect the team, I think they'll definitely start playing five at the back. That's his formation, five at the back. This could open up a really good door for Reguilón if they can sort themselves out defensively a little bit. And also whoever plays right wing back. So whether that's Doherty or Emerson, I think there could be really, really nice options in this team. And I think they're going to end up playing 5-3-2 to begin with, at least, which makes Son amazing again, like playing down the middle next to Kane. I think there's going to be some good options at Spurs coming up. It's just whether you go like right now or you maybe wait a week or two to like see how they look in the first game.
I think it's a perfect. I think it's personally a perfect game to wait and see because Spurs should beat Everton. Everton are, I keep describing them as squishy in midfield. No real threat defensively. A bit all over the place, can defend quite well, but very prone to kind of just bottling it and conceding stupid goals. So if Spurs can't take advantage of that and punish them, then I don't know if we're going to see a sort of an instant change in Spurs' players. Alternatively, I think we will. I think, you know, with Kane and Son, you know, hopefully Kane can be playing with a smile on his face again. The tactics going to be set up to get the most out of him. There's hopefully going to be more creativity in the team and more onus on getting forward and quick counter-attacking football rather than just boring Nuno-style, you know, possession. So, yeah, really, really excited to see kind of what happens. And, you know, for anyone following our late Reg team, we've had Regulon from the start. He's been absolutely awful, but now's his chance.
As we're ahead of the curve. We've been ahead of the curve since game week one.
That's our problem. We're too ahead of the curve. 10 weeks ahead of the curve. Right, let's come on to the Monster game then. It would help if I actually...
Of which Spurs might play a part in this,
absolutely,
by the way.
Because yeah,
this seems like a good opportunity to put them in without forcing them into your season-long teams. You know what I mean? I think
absolutely. Yeah, there's some and they're kind of quite kindly priced as well. I'm on this. So let's take a look at the list. So the Chelsea players are at the top. So Lukaku is most expensive player. He's not going to play. Mason Mount is their next, 13.9. Timo Werner also not going to play, 13.3, and then Kai Havertz. 13.2. I mean, it's amazing how many injuries when you look at this list that Chelsea have got. I mean, Pulisic is 12.5. He made the brief appearance in the Champions League. Kovacic is there 12.7. Obviously not injured. He's injured now. So it's kind of Mount or Havertz really the two that if you're going to try and tap into that Burnley game. Arsenal got some expensive players from them. Aubameyang 13. Smith Rowe 12.8. Imagine that. I mean, the difference on FPL is about 5 million. On this, it's 0.2, whatever it is. Lacazette 12.4, Saka 12.3. So people, you know, obviously priced as an expectation is Arsenal beat Watford, and then you've got Salah. He's kind of like stuck in there at 12.9. So amongst this sea of Chelsea and Arsenal players, of course Salah's there at 12.9. And then going down the list a bit more, I mean, then you've got like Reece James 11.4, Neil Mopay 11.3. He's featuring good record against Newcastle. Ivan Toney 11.1. So then we start to get into these kind of like mix. I mean, it's the price on this kind of reflect what you kind of expect to happen in the games. Who's your top picks for this week? Who's the first names on your monster team?
Right, I'd like to caveat this by saying I think this is a really tough week in terms of sticking to the budget because all these names you've just read out, they are expensive, and I think they're the
11
ones
11 million plus. Like,
yeah, you'd be looking at to like fill your team sort of thing, like. You'd think the likes of Mopay or Toney, you'd think, oh, they'll be the bargains this Absolutely. Week. So they can like be the mid-price players and then I'll get some premiums. So I think my advice for this week is pick a fixture that you like the most and maybe have a triple up on that in terms of expensive players. And then you need to just look a lot cheaper for the rest, for most of the rest of it, really.
Excellent advice. What fixtures do you like then?
So I don't think I'll be, for example, I look at Smith Rowe's price at 12.8. I don't think I'm willing to pay that, to be honest. He's been playing great, but I just can't pay 12.8 for Emile Smith Rowe. I don't think on any game. No. Like I think I'd side to Aubameyang if I was going to. I think I'd pay the 13 for him because that feels like it should be his price. He has hat-trick upside, you know what I mean? He could potentially get a hat-trick if he has an amazing day. I can't see that Smith Rowe could get a hat-trick, for example. I think he could get goal and assist, but... that's not as many points, you know what I mean? So, Salah sandwiched in there is quite interesting. He's quite a lot more than Mane, isn't he? As he has been for the last sort of few weeks. I think 1.1 million difference by the looks of it.
Yep.
I think both of those could have a really good game, especially now we know Firmino's out, as we talked about. So, it seems like Mane, Salah and Jota will probably all be playing most of the game on Sunday. And obviously, West Ham are a top four threat. So, Liverpool need to win that game. Yeah, I think there'll be goals in that one, actually. Do you?
I do, yeah. It's hard to know what way it's going to go. I wouldn't be too surprised to see West Ham come away with a point or even a win, given the way they're playing. I guess that makes it a bit of a risk. I mean, you talk about targeting fixtures. I mean, to me, the two stand-up fixtures are the Arsenal-Watford game and the Brentford-Norwich.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be grabbing three players, it's going to be from one of those. I think Chelsea Burnley obviously should be sort of a routine Chelsea win, but Burnley tend to show up against Chelsea. They don't often, well, they don't get anything from it, but I can see them nicking a goal. I'm just not sure I want to be paying that much money for James and Chilwell in this. I look around the rest of the team. I look at like Mount and Havertz, and I think I'd rather go for the triple up on Arsenal and Brentford and try and target that game. I think I'd avoid West Ham Liverpool just because I don't really know which way it's going to go.
I quite like the Brentford defence actually for this game. I think they're kind of like 9-ish or something like that. Mm. I think there's Rico Henry's 8.5. I know that because I picked him in one of my drafts. That's why. But he's obviously playing wing back.
Yep.
8.5 for him against Norwich. If they're going to keep a clean sheet, it's this game, right? And you've got the upside of an attacking return for a wing back as well. So.
Yeah. Oh, I like the triple up. I like going for Henry, Mbomo and Tony in this and just really hoping that Brentford sort of hit three or four goals and they all kind of get returns. It's interesting. I mean, we talked about Spurs. I mean, the Spurs players are all under 10.
Son's so, very kindly priced, yeah. I think. Yeah,
Son's 9.8, Kane's 9.4. I think we grab one of those. I think we grab Son, personally.
Why don't you put in the three Brentford and Son then, and let's see what happens.
They're in. You can't see my screen, but they're in.
No, I can't. I like the price of Rafinha. I think he's 7 something. I think that's really cheap for Rafinha.
He's 9.2.
9.2. Oh, okay. Mm. Trent is definitely below 8 million.
Trent is 9.
Oh my God! What am I thinking? What have I been looking at? Literally.
Come on, Josh. You're supposed to be the expert here.
I normally know the I don't know what's happened. I've just mismemorized them this week. I'm really annoyed with myself. I don't like Trent at 9, actually. I think I'd want him to be a little bit less, I think. I think if he was the price I thought at like sort of 8, I think that'd be a really good price.
Well,
even though West Ham might score, you know what I mean? I think he's so attacking, isn't he?
I can tell you some players that caught my eye under 8. Regulon 7-3, for example.
It's not bad.
Emerson Royal is 6-9, and I'm expecting him to play, at wing back as well. Palace players are cheap. Where was Mitchell? Mitchell 7-5, for example, against Wolves. I'm expecting them to keep it quite tight. I mean, their defensive numbers have been really good, and Wolves are good defensively as well. I think that could be quite a low scoring game. And then who was the other one that I noticed? The Leicester defenders as well, sort of Castagna and Pereira as well, sort of 7 million under as well. Obviously, have attacking threat. Leeds are just so reliant on Rafinha to get anything from that game.
Yeah, so I went for the, not to spoil, but I may have gone for the Palace defence on one of my monster teams that I sent you a draft for. So I think that's a low scoring game as well. So I think I went for Mitchell and the keeper, maybe Guaita.
Yep.
So I think they're both quite nice. I like Callum Wilson away at your boys, actually. I think he's 6'8". I think that's really
that
cheap for Callum Wilson.
You got that one right, Josh. Well done.
Yes. I'm hopefully back. Easing myself in. You know what it is this week? I think the premiums feel like they're so premium this week in terms of price. It just feels like there's so many people above 11 that I think I'm thinking 9 million is almost like an enabler this week. You know what I mean?
I think
whereas it's normally like 7 million are enablers. So there's not really much below sort of Callum Wilson's price, I don't think.
No, I mean, really. 6'8 for him is really nice. The one thing I will say about Callum Wilson is one player that I did want to suggest for us is Lamptey. Because I think this is the game that Lamptey comes back into the side and starts. He's 8.4 on the game, which is a hell of a lot cheaper than a lot of other Brighton. I mean, the other Brighton midfielders and strikers are like 11 million plus. You also get the safety net of Lamptey with Webster as well.
That's really good.
Webster's 0.1 below.
Yeah. I don't know what Burn's status is, but obviously he's below as well, just in case.
Yep.
I mean, I think Webster's back though, so I think you'll be all right with Lamptey.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't mind that.
No, I can see it being Lamptey back, and then it's going to be Dunk, Webster, and then one of Veltman or Duffy. I don't know which one it's going to be. I had a look. I was looking at the stats of Newcastle, thinking maybe they've got a real weakness from like headers or set plays, and they really don't. Like, it's not, the defensive numbers are awful, but they're not conceding huge amount of chances from that. So I don't know if they're going to use Duffy in that way. I can see Veltman slotting in and Duffy missing out in this one, but I really hope Lamptey starts. Be really excited to see him play.
I think there's a very good chance Brighton do clean. I mean, I was saying Wilson from a perspective that if Newcastle score, it's probably him, right? But we could go for a Duffy sort of Lamptey double up on this team, maybe, that we're drafting now. And hope that Brighton keep a clean sheet.
A Duffy Lamptey double up. I like it. Well, I think we just grab Dunk. Dunk at 8-6. I mean, Duffy's... I mean, we could get Duffy, I suppose. And then
I mean, Duncan Lamptey, sorry. No?
Yeah, Duncan Lamptey. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd do that. That's what I'd do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Duffy's 8-9, who, if he starts, should have more attacking threat. And if we don't get him, then we would get March or Dunk. So maybe we go Duffy, pay a little bit extra.
Yeah, and then if we need 0-3 later, we can put it back, maybe.
Okay, so at the moment, we're four at the back. Henry, Mitchell, Lamptey, Duffy, Guaita in goal, and Bomo, Son, and Tony. So we need...
How much we got left for how many positions?
We've got 30.1 left, so we just need around 10 for the remaining three.
Okay, it's better then. What do you think of Rafinha at the 9-2 price I said?
Yeah, like I said, I think if Leeds are going to get anything from it, he's just so reliant on him. I mean,
it's been him every time, hasn't it?
Yeah. It really has. I mean, it's such an easy bit thing to say, but watching that Norwich game, I mean, the first half, Leeds were so poor. And, you know, Rafinha was showing glimpses of quality. And then the second half, he just stepped it up and they just couldn't deal with him. So, yeah, and Leicester just seemed to be conceding loads of goals. So I reckon we stick Rafinha in. I'm happy with that. Two more?
Yeah, I'm just having a look. I think this is the toughest week I've been on the sheet so far, I have to say. When I was looking at enablers, like I say, I mentioned Wilson. I think St. Maximin's fine as well, but obviously we've got the double Brighton. I don't mind Antonio at 7.6, I have to say. I think that's cheap for him on this game. It's a tough fixture, but if we want one of the premiums to go with him, so I presume we can have one of the like Arsenal or Chelsea players to go with Antonio if we pick Antonio, which might be nice to have one of those as like our sixth attacker. Sorry,
we can indeed. Aubameyang's 13. Yeah. So we could pair that with Antonio at 7.6. So it gives 7.9 left.
I quite like that. I quite like that combination. The other one is, I think Jimenez was 8.4 or something like that.
8.4, yep.
Yeah, that could be a really nice... But we've got the double Palace, so we can't in this team. But look at that. I think he was a nice price if people are going against the Palace defence, I think. Yeah. I think he's quite a nice price. He looks in form now.
The only player we're missing here is I really do fancy Trossard in this game, playing up front.
He's quite expensive though, isn't he?
He's 11 million.
It's a lot for a Leandro Trossard.
We do have enough to do Mbomo to Trossard.
Yeah, maybe do that then. Yeah, I think.
So we triple Brighton rather than Brentford.
And Mbomo is still nursing an injury, as we saw from him being benched last week. He's clearly like, he probably gets subbed, is what I'm saying. I think that's quite likely. Trossard's a 90 minute man. So yeah, let's take that, I think.
So our team is Guaita, Henry, Mitchell, Lamptey, Duffy, Son, Rafinha, Trossard, Tony, Aubameyang, Antonio. Captain?
Yeah, for the captain. Well, Tony's got a good fixture, of course. Aubameyang's got a good fixture. So I think it'd be one of those two for me, unless you really fancy Son with the...
I think one of Tony or Aubameyang.
I think so too. I don't mind out of those two, honestly.
Surely Tony scores against Norwich. Surely.
Penalties, 90 minutes. He's good for fan team. He's a really good fan team player. Like, obviously, coming back to the season long game for a second, I think he's still only 6 or 6-1 on there. That is a steal on that game for the fixtures that are coming up. So
I've given it Tony.
Yeah, let's go Ivan Tony. And I never thought we'd be saying we're captaining a Brentford player at any point in this season. So there we go.
And triple Brighton as well, just to really...
double Brentford, triple Brighton, sorry.
Double Brentford, triple Brighton, yeah. Oh God, what are we doing? And double Palace as well. Yeah, it's a strange team. Okay, that's entered. That's our team. Let's have a look at some of the teams that you sent me before we talk and ruin your thoughts. So the first team you sent me is Guaita and Mitchell. And then you've gone, the players we didn't even talk about is Chelsea, James and Chilwell. So you've gone straight in for the two Chelsea wing-backs. And then Son, Rafinha, Havertz, captain, interesting. Barnes, Gray, Edouard and Wilson. I mean, this is a very... Normally, the first team you show me is a little bit similar to ours. This is incredibly different. Triple Chelsea, Barnes and Gray. What's your thinking?
I think the second team you'll find might be a bit closer. Really? I think it's just an order thing this week, yeah. So... Obviously, when we were talking, just we steered away from Chilwell and James because you immediately said you thought they were a bit pricey, which I think I might agree with. But I basically did one team with sort of a more premium defence, which is this one with the two Chelsea. And then I did a different team with a cheaper defence. I think I had the Brentford boys in there, actually. So, Yeah, so with this one, James and Chilwell, their numbers in the last 2 weeks speak for themselves, really. They've both been incredible, and I guess I'm just hoping they ride the wave for one more week and get that sort of dual clean sheet plus attacking return week again, you know what I mean?
Well, the great thing is you get a player in if they don't start. So it doesn't matter if James comes on for 2 minutes and or Chilwell misses out. It doesn't, because you always have the safety net of other Chelsea players because they're the most expensive ones. So it's as, although I've kind of, you know, poo-pooed them a little bit, they're actually perfect picks for this fan team game.
And so, and I know Man City aren't on the slate this week, but exactly the same for Man City. I love playing Man City players on the weekly monsters. Literally, you're guaranteed to get an amazing player, basically, like, as long as you pick one that's got two or three lads below him on the safety net. So I mentioned Wilson, he's very cheap. I think if they score against you boys, I think it's going to be him, basically. Harvey Barnes has got Maddison as his safety net, so even if Barnes doesn't play, I'll get Maddison, which I think is really nice against a Leeds team that have looked still very shaky last week. I think even Norwich scored last week. So, I mean, I think Leicester have definitely got the ability to score against Leeds. And on the other side of that game, I mentioned Rafinha earlier. I think even at 9-2, I think it's still a really nice price. The one that was sort of like the 11th man I put in was Damari Gray. I'm not thrilled with how Everton are playing, but it was hard to find value this week, as I talked about earlier. So if Everton score, you know, there's a decent chance he's part of it. So that's why I've got.
I think it's an interesting one, because I think most people are going to be backing Spurs to come into this Everton game and win it comfortably, given new manager, Everton's performances and stuff. So I think kind of trying to find someone a bit like that who is probably going to fly massively under the radar, you know, can be a good idea, especially when you can enter multiple teams and, you know, take different punts. Speaking of multiple teams, let's have a look at your second team. So this one is, this looks a bit more like it. Nice Arsenal double up, Ramsdale and Tomiyasu in defence, Henry and Aya in the Brentford double up at the back as well. Son, Salah captain, familiar, Zaha, Mbomo, Richarlison, Antonio and Hwang. So this looks more like a kind of FPL team, right? Salah's in as captain, nice and boring. You've got Mbomo there as well, the double Brentford defence against Norwich, who just can't seem to score. This one looks a lot more like balanced to me.
Yeah, so I think that's the key point I wanted to show you the difference between these two teams, because if you do put the money into the back, like the Chelsea players I had in draft one, you're struggling so much with the attacking sort of seven players. You need to have like three or four enablers basically in the attackers. But if you have like a bit of a cheaper defence, I identified Arsenal as a little bit cheaper. I mean, they're not amazingly cheap, but I picked the two of the cheapest Brentford defenders as well. Aya has a safety net. I noticed he's red flagged, but he's got Jorgensen below him, so he will come on if he doesn't play. But I went for sort of the two cheap ones, because I think Janssen and the other one that there's a 9.1 and a 9 million basically, whereas I went for the 8.6 and 8.5 just to save that sort of, it's a million in total almost you save between picking the two, you know, 0.5 on each one kind of thing. So I think that enabled the front seven, basically. Obviously Salah, Hwang, I went for, I think Jimenez is 0.1 more, but I had exact funds for the last slot, so I went for Hwang. I think my preference is Jimenez, I think, but Hwang has also looked really good, maybe not last game, but the games before that, definitely. And then Salah captain, very boring, as you said.
Very boring. Yeah, I'm quite surprised to see you go for a Salah captain. But looking at the team, there's not really anyone else that you've... I don't know. This team looks solid, but I think it's got less potential of getting like a massive score. I don't think it's going to be a winner, this team.
I think you might be right. Maybe I need to tweak something, because I want to win. So maybe I need to change something.
Well, I'm just looking at it and thinking Antonio, Richarlison, Hwang, they've got three tough games, I would say. You know, new manager bounce from Conte, Liverpool and Palace have looked good. I'm not expecting Zaha to get too many goals. It's kind of Mbomo and Son, really. Salah's just everyone's going to have and is quite boring. But, I mean, might be the right player just to play sensibly there. Yeah, I don't know.
I think he'll go on your own.
I liked it at first, but... I don't know.
I think Salah will be under-owned this week compared to normal. I think people will look at the fixture and just be like, I'm going to just skip it this week, which also means I think he'll be under-captained. So that's why I decided if I was picking him, I'm going to captain him, because I think it might be the week where it might be not a differential, but he'll be less captained this week than any week we've seen so far, I think.
Yeah, that's very true. Yep. Right, let's move over to our back to our season teams. So this is our first team that we entered, which is doing terribly, but they're all doing terribly. So Backman and Foster in goal, Azpilicueta, Christensen, Henry, got him in place, Mané, Salah, Gray, Ward-Prowse, Antonio, Tony, Ronaldo. And then on the bench, we've got Tierney, Zaha and Veltman. I really don't feel like it's a bad team, but it just doesn't ever seem to be doing well for us.
Who's on the bench? Tierney, Zaha, Veltman? Okay. I mean, it's a solid bench for a start. I mean, obviously, I'm not sure what Tierney's injury status is, but...
like, I'm looking at that team and thinking, I don't think we need to make any, like, outfield changes. Like, it looks fine. I mean, we can bring Zaha in for Gray, maybe. Tierney's not fit. I mean, I think we stick with Azpilicueta, Christian and Henry. Again, I'm looking at this team and thinking our weakest player is our goalkeeper, is Backman and Foster.
Have we got one transfer? Yeah.
We've got one transfer. Yeah.
It's just a classic. I think it's a really simple, boring one, but you either change the goalkeeper or you roll the transfer, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. Obviously, it would be Backman leaving, as I said earlier, because Foster's cheaper and the actual starting goalkeeper. So
I mean, we can get Sanchez. We've got 0.1 in the bank to do Sanchez, or we could get Guaita. We can't afford Ramsdale, who's 4.8.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, Sanchez I was absolutely against at the start of the season. So he's my FPL goalkeeper and he's been my FPL goalkeeper since week one, and that won't change. But he doesn't make as many saves, like, which you need for this game, I think. You need the saves, really, because you get rewarded more highly on this game for the saves.
He's the third highest goalkeeper.
I know you've kept a lot of cleans, though. That's been the thing. I think you've kept 4 out of 10 now, I think. 4 out of 10, I think, which is obviously really, really good for a team like Brighton. That's like a really good clean sheet return. But yeah, the saves still haven't been there. I think he made 8 in one game. It was either the Liverpool game or the Man City game. He made 8 saves in that game. But last week against Liverpool, he only made 1 save, I think, or 2 saves. So even in those really games against tough opponents, he just doesn't. He hasn't made that many saves in any game,
he's
really.
He's making more saves than Backman and Foster, double up. They're making any saves and they're not keeping clean sheets. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I completely agree. We took a punt on this one and this one just didn't work out at all. I think Saar's been better. He's been unlucky with the clean sheets. Like the first 3 games, if you remember, they should have kept a clean sheet in all 3 of them and they lost all 3, 1-0 against like Tottenham, Man United and whatever it was. So Leicester, I think it was. But... So I'm happy with Saar, actually, in the teams where we've got Saar and Rudy or whatever the double up is there. But this Watford one, I'm really struggling with this. I think
we get rid of one. I mean, we could even go for Saar. He's 4.6 as well. So one of Saar, Sanchez or Guaita.
See how you feel on Saturday, Friday.
See how I feel. Leave it with me. Yeah, leave it with me. Yeah. See how I feel. Our late reg team is also doing really badly as well. Really badly. 20K. Awful. We've got Saar in goal, Van Dijk, Azpilicueta, Rudiger, Son, Salazar, Havertz, Vardy, Antonio, Tony. And then we've got regular on the bench with Gray and Webster. Interesting that we just haven't talked about James or Chilwell at all. We've got the Chelsea double ups, and I guess... We're kind of stuck with them, really, because we don't really want to be making those sideways moves.
Yeah, I think if anything, you add in a third one. You know what I mean? If you're going to do anything, I wouldn't swap Chelsea to Chelsea, honestly. The fixtures are good enough going forward for like till like game week 20 or something, I think. Like in terms of, I look at it and I think, can Chelsea keep a clean sheet in this game? Absolutely. You know what I mean? So I think if anything, you're looking to add a third, really, like considering we don't have Mount, Havertz, Lukaku. But on this team, I think it looks like Sato and Bueno, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a nice like, move and target Brentford.
I've been looking at that one in quite a few of mine. Same as Souček to Mbeumo, actually, which I really don't want to do. But I think those two to Mbeumo look really good for the fixture run ahead, especially this week's game. Yep. So, yeah.
A question for you, a bit more strategy, which probably there's quite a few people watching this who maybe aren't doing as well like we're not with these two teams. At what point do you start to panic? What point do you... Because I look at these teams like 15 and 20K. We're not in the cash... positions, and I'm already thinking we need to do something different. We need to captain a Havertz, or we need to like go against Salah or something like that. Is it still a case of kind of play it steady, or do you think we need to start thinking about trying to climb the ranks?
There's now obviously there's lots of approaches to this, so I'm going to do a quick plug as well for Fantasy Football Scout. I had an article released yesterday on turning your season around. Obviously, that fits in with the question quite a bit, I think. So if you guys want to read that, please check that out on FFS Scout. That's I sort of weigh up quite a few different ways of doing it on there, but the first thing I'd say from what you said was I would not go against Salah captain.
No.
Like, that's the first thing. I really believe he is the perma-cap, as they talk about it, till at least Christmas. And it sounds crazy to say that right now with so many weeks in between, but I don't think there's going to be a week where I go in and think, oh, I don't fancy Salah captain this week. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Which there's an argument now to spread the funds across the rest of your team, because you've got your premium asset, who's your captain every week. Like, if you've got Ronaldo, I'd keep him, for example. But if you haven't got Ronaldo, well, obviously no one's got Lukaku, I wouldn't be worrying at this point now. I'd be happy to have sort of 3 or 4, 8 million midfielders or strikers, maybe get Son in for the 9.6 or 9.5, whatever he is, and have a decent defence as well. Now, I mean, with the way Chelsea are defending, the way Trent's playing, the way Cancelo looks, there's plenty of options for premium defenders, isn't there? So spreading the funds might be a way of being a bit different and having really like good potential points from every one of your 11 players. You know what I mean? Like having 10-point upside for every single spot in your team if you get lucky with it. So, yeah.
But the main message is let others make mistakes. Keep the captain on Salah. Don't panic.
I think if you're going to take risks, now this is something I talked about in the article, but I think it's good to take risks in like quite low value positions, i.e. your 6 million midfield slot, or double up a defence, for example, is a nice way to do it, where you get like literally double the returns of if that team keeps a clean sheet. Yeah, I think James and Chilwell's a nice way. I think Cancelo and Diaz, if you've got that, I'd still stick with that, for example. I think Man City have looked amazing defensively still this season. Even like a Van Dijk and Trent. Now, Liverpool's fixtures are quite favourable as well for till all the way till Boxing Day or whatever, I think. So, those double ups, I wouldn't be sort of running against them. And to be honest, there must be some cheaper team ones as well. Like, I mean, Rico Henry and the Brentford goalkeeper, yep. They've got such good fixtures and they've looked really good defensively. I'm thinking about your boys, Brighton. Obviously, you've just played City and Liverpool back-to-back, I think. So that's the two of the toughest fixtures out the way. If people have already got Sanchez, I wouldn't be against adding the likes of a Dunk to that. Yeah. I think it'd be Dunk at this point, wouldn't it, for you?
I think
as someone who's nailed,
yeah,
right?
I think it kind of has to be, really. Duffy, Veltman, Lamptey, Cucurella's a mid.
Webster, they're all just not... I mean, is Webster nailed? Or
He is, yeah, but he's had the injury and offers no attacking threat. So I'd pay the extra.
He gets so many injuries as well, doesn't he? Like he's quite injury prone.
Yeah, I'd definitely pay the extra for Dunk over Webster.
Yeah, my point is there's plenty of teams you can double up on at the back. Like maybe we'll be talking about a Reguilón and whoever's playing right wing back double up in a month
Royal
or so.
Double up, yeah, I like it. I do. I mean, I love a wing back. A back four of Chilwell, James, Reguilón, and Royal is about my dream.
Yeah,
stick Lamptey there as well.
Or Trent. Yeah. So many, literally. There's like. So, yeah, that's something I talked about because you're obviously like you're increasing your variance because you're now on like just one team to keep a clean sheet. And if that one team doesn't keep a clean sheet, your week's going to be like you're going to struggle in terms of your defensive points. But those weeks where Liverpool and Chelsea keep a clean sheet and you've got a double up on both, you're getting like a quick clean sweep across your defence, you know what I mean? Plus any attacking returns, plus whatever your goalkeeper gets if you haven't got one of those teams' goalkeepers. So... I think that's a nice way to catch up without risking it all, if that makes sense. So like if you're spending all your money, if you're getting like three Liverpool attackers, for example, you're spending loads of money on Firmino, Mane, Salah, you know what I mean? And you sort of putting all your eggs in one basket and all your money in that basket. Whereas like if you've got a triple up on a team like Brentford when they've got really good fixtures, yes, it's risky, but at least you'll still have two or three premiums surrounding that that might be able to get you out of trouble. You know what I mean?
Yep. Very nice. That's it. That's from the winner of last year. Check out his article on Scout. Fortnightly articles from Josh as well, so they can help you with your fan team decisions. Josh, I don't think there's been any noise from the fence people. We've done this all in one take. Smooth professionals, as always. I hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, give it a like. Drop us a comment as well. Let us know how you're getting on with your seasons. Interesting to talk to fellow fan team players. And Josh and I, we won't be here next week because it's the international break, another one. We'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss how we got on in Game Week 11 and Game Week 12. So, Josh, thank you for joining me as always, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Az. Take care, everyone. Bye.